We began our series entitled Home Sweet Home last week. The title of our message last week was The Importance of a Christian Home. It's important because, ladies and gentlemen, it's God's first institution. Amen? The home. It's important because it is vehemently opposed and attacked by Satan. The very first thing after God instituted the home, it says, the serpent said, yea, hath God said. It is the building block of society. We said this morning, our country's in a mess. How many of you believe that? That's because churches are in a mess, and it's because homes have been in a mess for a long time. Amen. And so we talked about that. We talked about it's important because it is where a person is formed, in the home, in your home. How a young man learns to relate and treat his mother has a lot to do with how he will treat his wife. And vice versa, daughter to her father. It's where a person is formed. It's where character is formed and discipline is formed. It's a refuge from a sinful world, isn't it? Hey, how many of you men, just by an amen, work out in the world? Say amen. Yeah. Amen. Listen, I know you appreciate your home. It's a place of refuge. I think about children that go to public schools where, and by the way, there are some public schools out there that haven't gone all the way that bad, but there's a lot of them that are. And those kids, they need to be able to come home, a place of safety and refuge. And we talked about how it's a picture of a divine relationship in Ephesians 5:32, speaking of the husband-wife relationship, says, I show you great mystery, nevertheless I speak concerning Christ and the church. Amen. And so the home is a picture of divine relationship. So in our text today in Matthew chapter 7, this is the end of what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And I know that every word of Jesus is profound. Amen. I remember when I got my first red letter study Bible, and I looked, and I remember my wife had one, and she's not in here, so I can tattle on her. And she had one of those gift award Bibles that our kids have had for years, amen. And all the words of Christ were in red. And Brother Brown, it seemed like she had highlighted all the words of Christ. And I said, sweetheart, you don't have to highlight them. They're already in red. I mean, the printer already did that for you, amen. She said, oh, that was just where I was reading, and it was good. The words of Jesus are profound. I want to say, I don't think there is any more profound sermon than the Sermon on the Mount. Just the truths that Jesus taught and the challenges that he gave to us. There's the subject of blessedness in verses 1 through 18 in chapter 5. Blessed is the man. Okay, we talked about that a couple Wednesday nights ago in Psalms. But here it says, blessed is they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the peacemakers. He talks about the Christian in the world in chapter 5. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. Therefore, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. He talks about in chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, he gives instruction concerning giving and how it's not to be done for public praise. He gives instructions concerning praying, the same. Find your closet, and what you ask for in secret, God will reward you with openly. He gives instruction concerning forgiving. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive your trespass. But if you forgive not, neither will your heavenly Father forgive. That doesn't mean you're not saved, but it means you're going to be out of fellowship with God because of unforgiveness and all God's people said. Amen. He gives us instruction concerning fasting. Fasting. It's interesting in those three things. He says, when you give, when you pray, when you fast. The implication there is as Christians, we ought to do all those things. We're expected. We're expected to do those things. Then he gives us some instruction concerning priorities. He says, lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. He said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He gives instruction concerning worry. Consider the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor spin. Yet even Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like one of these. Amen. What does he say?
He says, your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. At the beginning of our chapter, in chapter 7, probably the most famous verse in modern liberal churches is chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. By the way, it's a great verse. It's a great verse. People confuse it and they think that a Christian doesn't have any right to judgment. The whole text is about proper judgment. That's what we call a proper hermeneutic. A proper hermeneutic, a proper interpretation is to look at the whole text. He said, you do have to take care of your own business before you start judging everybody else's business. You need to take the beam out of your own eye before you look at the sliver in your brother's eye. And then he tells us about false teachers, and he talks about false prophets and trees that are corrupt. And by the way, you have to make judgments about those things. A good tree brings forth good fruit. So if I see good tree on a good fruit, I judge that that's a good tree. If I see corrupt fruit, I think that's a corrupt tree. That's making proper judgments. He teaches us about asking God for things. Chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and shall be opened. He talks about false prophets, verse 15 through 20. He talks about entry into heaven, verses 21 through 23. And there's what we call couplets in this chapter. There's two gates in verses 13 and 14. There's two ways in verses 13 and 14. Verses 17 and 18, there's two trees. There's two fruits, corrupt and good. There's two destinations, heaven and hell, verses 21 through 23. And in the text that we read, we find two men, two dispositions, two houses, and two outcomes. It's amazing. It's interesting. Verse number 24 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, verse 26 says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine. It's the same, right? Both of these men heard what God said. It's interesting, our response when we're given truth. Do we ignore truth? Do we disregard truth? Do we accept truth? Do we obey truth? Here's the difference between a wise man and a foolish man. The wise man hears the sayings of God and does them. The foolish man hears the sayings of God and goes on his way. Doesn't affect him at all. You know, there are proper ways to build anything. I'm glad Brother Jack's in the room tonight. I don't think Brother Leonard's working on the ERT, but my wife, just a few credits shy of a bachelor's degree in architecture. And back when we built a building, it was our addition on our home church, my wife did the plans for that. She came up because there's the idea phase and the design phase and the planning phase. You got to get your architect and go through that, and then you build. I want to, if I could, just help us tonight with God's idea, design, and plan for helping us build a Christian home. There are some things that we have to have if we're going to build our homes. Last week was the importance of the Christian home. This week is the building of the Christian home. A Christian home is built upon, number one, the Son of God. The Son of God. Let's go to some verses tonight. You've got verse number 24 there. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Go, if you would, over to Matthew chapter 16, just a couple pages over in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 16, very familiar portion of Scripture here. Matthew chapter 16. And I said this last week, and I'm sure I'll say it throughout this series. A Christian home, first of all, is built on Christ. You can't have a Christian home if you're not a Christian. But let me say this, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean by default you have a Christian home. Amen. To have a home that honors Christ, that takes work, that takes labor, that takes effort. Matthew 16, verse 15, and he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you also, unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. What is the rock that Jesus built his church on? Well, the folks that are from the Church of Rome will say it's Peter. It's not. It's the statement of Peter. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is what the church is built on. And I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that's what our homes are built on. Jesus, or the Apostle Paul said of Jesus in 1 Corinthians 3:10, For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. We have to start with Jesus Christ. And let me just give you a few points under the Son of God. The principles of Christ. Christianity is not, listen, a leather-bound King James Bible. Christianity is not being conservative. Christianity is not Fox News. Christianity is not talk radio. Christianity is not long skirts. Christianity is not suits and ties. Christianity is Christ. Amen. That's what we need to found our homes on. First of all, the principles of Christ. The principles of, you will never go wrong. It's amazing to me. Even the foulest atheist, even that Islamist that hates Christianity, he can't say one thing about Christ. Can't say one wrong thing about Christ. Our Savior, His principles are perfect. Not only that, but in regards to our home, not only the principles of Christ, but the person of Christ. It is always, always a good philosophy to say, how would Jesus handle this and what did He say about it? What did He say about it? The person of Christ. And you know what? I think about the preference of Christ. When I think of the preference of Christ, it's laid out in Philippians. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. See, what do you mean, Pastor, the preference of Christ? I mean the preference of Christ is others. You prefer others before yourself. In the home. Sir, let me preach a little bit here. Sir, if you come home and there's a stack of dishes, maybe your wife had a bad day. That was a good chance for you ladies. Good chance right there. I gave it to you, okay? And all the ladies just sat there and said, it'd be okay for you to do the dishes, sir. Oh, now the guys are glaring at me. I'm telling you. It's all right. I'm all set here, amen. I'm all set. Hey, listen, the preference is others in the home. It's others. The Son of God. We build upon the Son of God. You know what else, ladies and gentlemen? I know this is, I hope it's not redundant. We build it upon the Word of God. Amen. We build our homes upon the Word of God. We talked about that a lot today. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Great, great verse talking about building your home properly. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look, if you would, at verse number 4. These are great verses. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Wherefore, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. What's that talking about? The Word of God. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world that is in the world through lust. Hey, just over a book, it would tell us being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Word of God is involved in everyone's salvation. Everyone who's truly saved is born again, not only by the Spirit of God, but by the Word of God. And then it says this, and beside this, giving all diligence,
add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make ye that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, our homes should be built upon the word of God. Now let me ask, do you have personal devotions? You don't have to say amen. Do you have personal devotions? I hope you do. Do you have a family altar? I hope you do. I really think that a family altar would alter many a family. Amen? Are we building our homes upon the TV? Are we building our homes? Are we just at home like this all the time? Daddy, hold on. Dad, listen, I see it. My wife and I were at a baseball game the other day for Eric, and it was a massacre. Praise the Lord, I got there late. Hallelujah. It was just a massacre. It was not good. And so I went there, and I just happened to walk over, and Eric was hitting, so I walk over where I can see him, and I try not to overcoach. I don't want to be that dad. Amen. Put your elbow up. Get your feet back. You know, I just try to let him. And I looked over, and I came over, and my wife, Cotty and Luke were playing. It was fine. And my wife was on her phone. And I said, don't be that mom. And so later on, I got a text from somebody, and she just happened to walk over and said, don't be that dad, as I was replying to the text. Amen. Now, listen, I know there are points and there are things to be sent, and we do live in a communication world. But if we're not careful, those things can rule our home and have a tendency to push the Word of God and time with the Word of God right aside. So what do we need to build our homes on? We need to build our homes on the Word of God. We need to build our homes on the Son of God. Number three, we need to build our homes on the love of God. For God so loved the world. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. God's love for us is the cause in our homes. Our love for one another in the home ought to be the effect. Cause and effect, amen. Oh, how we must have God's love permeating our homes. I'm not just talking about natural love. Thank God for natural love and natural affections. One of the signs of the last days is that people would be without natural affection. I'm not talking about that. It's easy to love your kids. I'm talking about the supernatural love of God in your home, for your children, for your spouse. The love of God. How God's love. I think about that song, Channels Only. Oh, we ought to be channels only of God's love. I've joked before. Three words that are used a lot in our house are stop, no, and don't. Don't look at me with those Pharisaical halos on, okay? When you had kids, you said stop, no, and don't too. You might even say it now to your spouse. Stop, no, and don't eat that ice cream because I want it. But they're not the three most oft-used words in our house. The three most oft words used in our house are, I love you. I can guarantee that because we work at it. I love you. I love you. Our kids need to know their love. Sir, your wife needs to know she's loved. Another good amen spot for you, ladies. Amen. The love of God, the Word of God, the Son of God. We have some young people in here tonight. I hope you'll catch what I'm trying to say with this. The plan of God. The plan of God. The plan of God is in Genesis chapter 2. We have Adam, We have Eve. We have a home. And this is the plan of God. Love, marriage, intimacy, children. And all God's people said,
amen.
Love, marriage, intimacy, children. I understand. There are people that make honest mistakes. There are people that sin against this. There are people that don't know that this is the plan of God. But the overarching plan of God, ladies and gentlemen, male, female, love, marriage, intimacy, children. That is God's plan through the ages. It works. It works. I understand. Listen, if you suffered a divorce, I am not belittling you. If you've had a child out of wedlock or due to a circumstance outside of your control, listen to me, I'm not belittling you. I'm telling you, this is God's plan. This is God's plan. It's amazing, as I've preached on divorce before, Brother Lawley, that the people that have been divorced have amened the loudest. They know the terrible part of divorce. So the plan of God. We must build our homes on the plan of God. It's important. Let me give you something else. We must build our homes on the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. The text that we read from in Matthew chapter 7 said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Go with me back to Proverbs. Of course, the book of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. It's what we call a simple topical message tonight. I hope it's helpful. What we build our homes on is either going to stand the test or it's not. We better consult God's book, amen. The plan of God, the love of God, the Word of God, the Son of God, the wisdom of God. Chapter 9 of Proverbs. Verse 1, wisdom hath what? Builded her house. Jump over to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. Through wisdom is an house builded. And by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Let me say a couple of actions regarding wisdom. Wisdom is hearing and obeying what God has to say. Amen. Whoso heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. James tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So that's the first thing about wisdom. Young people, listen to me. Wisdom is hearing and doing, not just hearing. Hearing and doing. But also, in regards to wisdom, in regards to our families, fathers and mothers, wisdom is asking. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. James 1:5 tells us. So listen, we ought to build our homes upon the wisdom of God. That is, of course, upon the Word of God and the Son of God and the love of God and the plan of God, hearing what God says, reading what God says, and doing it. Listen, you're here tonight on a Sunday night, Memorial Day Sunday night. You know, the Bible still says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I know you know that. You're here. Amen. That's hearing and doing. Hearing and doing is go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So you know what? I'm going to try to carry gospel tracts on me. If you follow me at Allegiance and you get in the elevator after me, you're going to see one hanging there right by the buttons. You're going to see one. You'll know I've been there. We used to say when we were on youth trips, it would be like a trail of breadcrumbs, Mrs. Alcock. You could tell wherever we stopped because the kids would have tracks. I'd have tracks. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why? Because the Bible says we're to be witnesses wherever we go, so we should do it. Amen? So the wisdom of God, not only hearing and obeying, but asking for wisdom. Solomon, young Solomon, didn't know what to do. He said, I don't even know how to go out or come in. How am I going to rule this great kingdom? God said, well, what do you want me to give you? I'll give you anything you want. I need wisdom. Dads, we need wisdom. Don't we? Dads, amen. We need God's wisdom. Moms, trust me, you need wisdom and patience too. Amen. Dealing with those little ones. Give me the wisdom not to kill them today. Amen. What did I hear? Grandchildren are God's blessing for you not killing your children. Something like that. Amen. The wisdom of God. The plan of God. The love of God. The word of God. The Son of God. If we're going to build a Christian home, I'm going to tell you something else that we need. We need the house of God. We need the house of God. And that's, of course, the church. 1 Timothy 3:15. Go there with me. 1 Timothy 3:15. Great verse. Verse, of course, for children, but a verse for adults as well. 1 Timothy 3:15. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Listen, it's the house of God. It's the church where the word of God is preached and where the truth of God is promoted and where it's practiced and where it's proclaimed. It's at the church of God that if you're at the right kind of church, amen, you're going to learn teaching about faithfulness, about marital fidelity, and all God's people said, about priorities, about cooperating one to another, about serving the Lord, about unity of purpose and unity of heart, about humility, about holiness. It's at the church of God, these things. And every one of these things can help our homes. Every one of these things. I was a youth pastor for 5 years. I loved it. I'm so blessed now by the young people that have come out of our youth group. But still, Timmy LaFlamme's coming here Wednesday. I still can't believe that. Amen. I just can't. But we always used to say, parents, and I know some parents of young people in here, and I'm a parent of young people. We used to always say this about the church. The church is not a substitute for the home. Teaching of the church, not a substitute. But I promise you this, as long as you have the right kind of people in authority, it will be a great supplement to your home. Yeah. It'll help you. I've had times as a youth pastor where I disagreed with parents' decisions, but I always said, that's not my decision to make. You honor and you obey your parents. And I never let the young people know that I disagreed with their parents. Why? Because I wanted to strengthen that home, Brother Bill. I wanted to strengthen that home. I wanted to be a supplement to that home. The right kind of church, the house of God. We ought to build our homes upon the house of God. Listen, don't be sporadic in your attendance. Again, this is preaching to the choir. Memorial Day, Sunday night. Don't be sporadic in your attendance. Be where you're supposed to be so you can hear what God wants you to hear. So if you're not in Sunday school, we don't record all the Sunday school class. We'll be recording Brother Tom's King James class, but we don't record all the Sunday school classes. And I learned this. I'm not a great Sunday school teacher, but when I'm preaching the Bible, I'm preaching something great. And I'm teaching something great. And God may want to speak to you if you're not there. Oh, let's be faithful to the house of God. It'll help build our homes. It'll help build our homes. So the Son of God, the Word of God, the love of God, the plan of God, the wisdom of God, the house of God, and then lastly, I love this one, the people of God. The people of God. Hebrews chapter 10. I quoted one verse already, but I want you to go there. Hebrews chapter 10. You're in 1 Timothy, so just turn right. Pass through Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. There's three great let us in this text. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching. God's people, the people of God, can help you build your home. And help you. I mentioned about our Sunday school teachers, I think, this morning. You know what, Sunday school teachers? Going down from Brother Becker, Lord willing, myself, Pastor Donald, Brother Sammons, and Brother Hirth, my wife, and then it goes down to Mrs. Lawley, Mrs. Boston, Mrs. Sammons, Mrs. Kirkland. You help us build our home. You help us. You the people of God, we help each other. We help each other. Let me go to another verse. 1 Peter chapter, I think it's chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. So hang a right turn at Hebrews, you'll go through James, and then 1 Peter chapter 5. And then we got one more text, now I'm done. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm early tonight. It's only 7 o'clock. I've got to find some more message here. Hallelujah. It says in verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. That's a good principle, young people. Older people have already been teenagers, and you have not already been old. Amen? There's a lot of wisdom in those years that they have. I heard a man say, I'm old for a reason. I like that. He says, yea, all of you be what? Subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. It says there, yeah, younger, submit yourself to the elder. But it says to all of us, hey, listen, we all ought to be subject one to another. We're part of the body of Christ. The people of God can help you build your home. I got one more text, Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Left turn. Head back past Hebrews. You'll get to Titus. Titus chapter 2, great pastoral epistle. Titus chapter 2. It says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach who? The young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. See, what are you trying to say from this passage, Pastor? I'm trying to say this. We're the people of God. And the people of God help us to build our homes. How many of you know, in regards to your children, that the right friends are important?
Oh, yes.
Can I say the very same thing for our right friends? The people of God. I want my kids. Now, the truth is, they're the preacher's kids. They're raised on drugs. They get drugged to church on Sunday morning. They get drugged to church on Sunday night. They get drugged on Wednesday night. Amen. But you precious people, you're helping me raise them. Oh, it's not the village mentality. Not at all. Not at all. Our home is our home. You may do things differently, and I may not care that you do things differently. Amen. There are things, if I'm convinced it's the way the Word of God wants it, that's what I'm going to do in my home. But you help me. You help me. Why? Because we're part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
The people of God will help you. You know, it wouldn't do you bad, young mom, to go to an older mom. Maybe you're having a problem with your child. Go to an older mom and say, have you ever dealt with this? Oh, I don't want to be embarrassed. Well, listen, it's true, it could be a little embarrassing, but you know the elder ladies of this church want to help you. Yeah. Young dad, young husband, the elder men of this church have been through some of the things that you're struggling with. It'd do you well to go to one of them and say, can I have a couple minutes with you? Can I talk to you a little bit about something I'm struggling with in my home? The people of God. I love the people of God. My best friends, and that this is the truth, my best friends are the people of God. The people that I spend absolutely the nth amount of time with are the people of God. I want my wife, my children around the people of God. Not for just for us to be affected, but for us to affect other families too. So what should we build our home upon? Well, first of all, the Son of God. Amen? First and foremost, build our homes upon the Son of God. Principles of Christ, the person of Christ, the preference of Christ, which is others. Build our homes upon the Word of God. Make sure we're having personal devotions. Make sure we're having family altar. Let me just say a little something about family altar. I was encouraged by this when I heard my pastor talk about his dad, who was a great man of God. Great man of God. And you know what he said? He said, we'd have family altar for a few days and then dad would get busy. And then he'd come to us and repent and we'd do family altar again. And then he'd get busy and then dad would come to us and repent and we'd do family altar again. I understand that. Sometimes we're so ashamed that we haven't done family altar in a while that we just keep not doing it. That's the wrong approach. You know what that is? That's like letting sin pile up. Well, I'm so ashamed to come before God because of this sin, I just won't talk to Him about it. That is not the right way to handle it. Just say, kids, Daddy's sorry. We haven't had family altar in a while. We're having it tonight at the dinner table. Amen. Or we're having it tonight before we go to bed. We're doing family altar. So important, ladies and gentlemen. So important. The Word of God. The Son of God, the love of God, the love of God. Hey, there are times to raise our voices, and there are times that the love of God should permeate our speech, like all the time. The plan of God, love, marriage, intimacy, children, the wisdom of God, hearing and obeying, but also asking God for wisdom, the house of God, and the people of God, building of a Christian home. Build it upon these things, you'll never go wrong. That building will stand. It'll stand the test of time. Father, thank you for your word.